Blog Talk Radio.
Minnesota basketball fans, the Living in Loserville podcast started out with some random stuff. What do you know? It's Loserville. Shit just happens. We are about to start the show, and all of a sudden, the intro music, I couldn't hear. It was just weird. But anyway, I think we got it figured out. Aaron, if you can't hear me, actually, you know what? Let me just unmute you to make sure we got it. Are you can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. We're good.
That was really weird, man. Sometimes
it just
happens, like all of a sudden the intro music gone, and when that's gone, I'm like, okay, there's something up. What's going on? But I don't know. Anyway, let's get this Living in Loserville podcast on the way. Let's get it going, okay? I'm your host, Chris Carlson. That was my co-host, Aaron Miller, there. He's going to jump in here in just a second. If this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, welcome. This is a Timberwolves, Minnesota Timberwolves, and Minnesota Gophers podcast. Centric, okay? It's a center around those two programs. And obviously, that's why we call it Living in Loserville, right? So, we on the last show last Friday, we got into a whole lot of detail about the Timberwolves, even though it's past midway, you know, at the All-Star break, but knowing what we knew, you know, that we were going to have a long break, it was like, what was it, 6 days or 5 days without a game, something like that, and it was actually longer. I think it was nine. I'll shut up. But anyway, you know, we're not going to go deep on a lot of that stuff. If you are kind of wondering the goals, the different starting lineups, different things that we really need to take a look at down the stretch run, you know, the playoff push, so to speak. Okay. So if you want to listen to that type of stuff, you're not going to get it right now. And we're not going to recap the last week because, you know, they didn't have any games. Now, they are playing currently right now in the Big Apple. And they don't have Towns together. Not because they don't have Towns, because they're playing the frickin' Knicks. But we will. So we're not going to dive too deep into the Timberwolves because, like I said, the last podcast, we really enthralled our stuff, you know, our thoughts into it. Okay, whether it's Tyus, off-season stuff, Teague, Rose, I mean a variety of stuff. Okay, so we talked about that on the last pod. We will focus more on, now we'll look at, you know, what's coming up in the next several, you know, games on the schedule, no doubt about it. And, you know, as this kind of plays out, this Timberwolves-Knicks game, we're standing at 27 and 30, we should be 28 and 30 when it's all said and done. 105.88 right now with 8:45. Now, let's preference this by saying we should win this game, okay? This is Loserville after all, so let's not get our hopes up too much until that last buzzer is hit. So this podcast, we're going to focus on our beloved and sometimes frustration following our Minnesota Gophers, okay? So obviously we're going to start with reviewing that blowout, wonderful performance against Indiana, and then the subpar shooting last night in the Michigan game, the game that didn't quite ever get going, and then there was a little run there, 9 minutes left or something. We'll get into the details. It's a crazy swing of the outside shooting in general, and shooting in general, but especially the three-point shooting from that Indiana game to the Michigan game. We'll talk a little bit more about Amir Coffey, who is a really solid all-around player. Especially the guy is a dominant player when his shot's falling. We're going to talk a little bit about Coffey. You know, he has had a lot of struggles, started the game really rough, had a rough game overall. Talk about, you know, I think we mentioned this a couple of episodes ago about, hey, man, he's junior. He's got a lot of positives of his game, but sometimes he's not as aggressive as he should be in the outside shooting. Should he stay another year? Also, since we're talking about outside shooting, we got to bring the main chef involved, and that's Patino. You know, Patino's recruited very well, but the lack of shooting right now costing us, period. We'll also preview the next two must-win games, capital M-U-S-T-W-I-N, must-win games versus Rutgers in Northwestern. And, you know, on the surface, Rutgers, Northwestern, they field basketball teams. They feel them, and it's on the road, folks. And you know how us Gophers and the Timberwolves, except for tonight, play on the road. Okay, so we'll take a look at that as well here on the Living in Loserville podcast. If this is your first time listening, like I said, welcome. It streams live right here every week on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoveradio. It streams live, and it archives here. It's basically the headquarters. So you can find the Living in Loserville podcast right here on Rope It Up Radio on Blog Talk, right? But if you want to subscribe to other places where you listen to podcasts, be that iTunes, you can subscribe to the show right there under Rope It Up Radio podcast. Also, Player FM. Player FM is a great source. A lot of people like the setup of the website, and it kind of, you know, it's kind of nice because you listen to a podcast and it brings you to a next podcast as well. So Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn. TuneIn, a lot of people like that setup as well. We get a lot of listens from there. But we're also part of the Grilling Truth Sports Podcast Network, and that can be subscribed everywhere. I just mentioned iTunes. They got a great Spreaker app there. You can also access the Grilling Truth Sports Podcast Network and listen to the Living in Loserville podcast with iHeartRadio. You can check it out there, and also you can stream it on Spotify over the grillingtruth.net. That's the grillingtruth.net. You can listen to the podcast obviously right there. You can read an article. I do a weekly boxing and basketball, right now college basketball, weekly predictions stuff. And while you're at it, you can place a bet. It'll link you right to mybookie.ag. Head on over to the grillingtruth.net. It's a great source, man. It's basketball, it's football, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. You got podcasts, articles, and the articles aren't just nowadays. It's a variety of different articles from the past. They do a great job over there at thegruelingtruth.net. And real quick before we get the show going, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have either cut the cable, right, and they're just on their smart TV with Apple TV or a Roku or whatever, a Fire Stick of some sort, Or you're thinking about it. You're looking at your bill and you're like, man, I'm just wasting money. For me, I had DirecTV, the satellite cable, for years. I mean, first I had Comcast, and when that bill got out of control, I took a deal with DirecTV. And that lasted a good probably 7-8 years where it was affordable. And it was like, all right, cool, I'm getting a good deal. And it's sports friendly too, which obviously I liked. That was part of the option that I liked as well. Problem is, after a while, it got more expensive than the damn Comcast, right? So if you're thinking about or have and can't find the right streaming service for cable, check out DirecTV now. I cut my cable in August. I gave myself about 5 weeks before I knew I needed to have cable on a regular basis, and I did Hulu Plus cable. I tried YouTube. I tried Sling. And, you know, I didn't necessarily love them. You know what I mean? I was even wondering, maybe I should go back to normal cable. At least it's cheaper, and maybe get a deal or whatever. But then I found DirecTV Now. Okay, you can start a 7-day free trial. The packages are pretty damn inexpensive. They start from $40 a month. That's 65 live channels, 55. That's 85 live channels, 65. That's 105 live channels. They even have a Spanish package as well for $45 a month. So theoretically, you could still have your Netflix, you could still have your Amazon, and you have cable though. And you could still have HBO or Showtime or whatever you can connect it to, and you're still saving like $50 to $100 less per month. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this deal as it pertains to AT&T as well. And I've been an AT&T customer since my second cell phone. Now, I'm not going to tell you the date on that, but since my second cell phone. So AT&T customers, there's actually a little kicker for you as well, okay? It's more of a lock-in price. You know, with inflation, the cable will. But there is a nice little kicker there for AT&T customers as well. They do have the cloud DVR, record, fast forward, the whole nine. Anyway, DirecTV Now, check it out if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you already have. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron, check his temperature, see how he's doing on this fine Friday evening. And you know what? It hasn't even snowed today. Can you believe it?
Yeah, it's odd. I mean, we're in the snowiest February on record, so, and that's probably like late 1800s. So it's been a lot of snow here lately. You know, it's weather's been pretty nice, not really too cold since the polar vortex passed, but I'm sure getting dumped on with a lot of snow. Yeah, let's talk about the Gophers. We got the seems like a tale of two games, really. You couldn't come out to a faster start against Indiana, and then you couldn't come out to a slower start against Michigan. So just kind of normal Golden Gopher antics, but yeah, pretty good week so far.
Yeah, in this record here in February that we broke, what, 10 days into the month or something like that, this thing's holding. Put money on, we're not beating this record for a long, long time because we still got time to go. It's supposed to snow tomorrow. You know what I mean? Seems like every two, three days we get just a pile of, you know, 6 inches to 7 inches or whatever. So I think this record's going to hold for quite some time. But you're right, man. Talk about a tale of two games, man. You hit that on the butt, man. I mean, it's just, especially for a guy like Coffee, who, by the way, was 3 of 6 in that game from three-point land, added 7 assists, had 6 rebounds. He gave you that all purpose. You had Gabe, the young freshman, who basically is our only shooter. He was 6 of 8. McBrayer was 2 of 5, and he's been struggling with his shot. I mean, 12 threes overall, and we only took 22 of them, so there you are. You're up pretty damn high at that point, 54%, almost 55% in that Indiana game, 84 to 63, just waxed them, shot the ball 48%, held them, you know, to 37, 38%, something like that. They only hit 2 threes. We got to the line 23 times. I guess that would be something you could look at and go, wow, They got to the line 28 times, though. That, I guess that's not good. But other than that, who really cares? Because in the blocks, I'll say that, they had a lot of blocks. But, man, they just looked, you know, energetic, came out with a lot of energy, a lot of passion, and that's something that we've been noticing, you know, once in a while, that you're just like, come on, dude, you know, let's go. And something I noticed, Aaron, in that game was that high-low game between Murphy and Arturo. And Arturo was active. And this guy is starting, you know, I don't know if he kind of hit his freshman wall, but that dude is climbing over that thing. And he has been playing really, really good. But to get up 21-11, 27-16, Murphy looking like a beast, like he does per usual. They did kind of cut it, you know, to like five. But before you knew it, it was 42-30. They started running away with it. You know what I mean? We did have some kind of crazy foul issues with the bigs and Stockman and Arturo and Curry. Murphy didn't have any fouls, but all those three that I mentioned, big men, they all had two fouls at the half. So that was kind of weird. But Kolscher just came out. Gaby just came out, started hitting the threes. And, you know, pretty soon it was a wrap. You know what I mean? And the starting lineup especially, which as a whole has been inconsistent, mostly shooting, but sometimes shooting can kind of put your head down and you start to not focus on other things. Just like when your shooting is going, all of a sudden the rest of your game is going, i.e. Wally Szczerbiak. When that guy was hitting his shots, oh my God, Wally, he was rebounding, he was getting in people's grill, he was feisty, he even tried to take KG on, but that didn't work too well. KG, he got him in the training room, we'll leave it at that. However, when the shots aren't falling, wow. And now, you know, that was fun. Indiana looked great, fun, sweet, must win, had to have it, looked great. How were we going to bounce back against the team that we played exceptionally well, you know, the first time around? They beat us on a buzzer beater on the road, Michigan did, I'm speaking of. So, you know, you're thinking, okay, let's take a look at this, okay? They actually had a nice little, you know, kind of win-lose type thing going on. Okay, we looked at those six games, you know, if we can go 3-3, and all of a sudden it's 7-6 at the 11:15 mark. 22-12, 7 minutes left in the first quarter. Bunch of offensive rebounds by the Gophers, but they couldn't follow up on them. And that's great that we were getting offensive rebounds. But two things, if you're not following up on them and getting in the hole or getting fouled, it doesn't matter. And two, when you shoot as bad as we did, especially from three, I got news for you. You're going to have some rebounds coming back at you. So some of that is that part. Now, Arturo had 10-10 at half. We were down 28-18. I remember that 12-point and 14-point, you know, amount that we had. It seemed like we were stuck on 12 and 14 for like 12 minutes. You know, it's just like, what the hell's going on? Now, they did last night make a nice little run halfway through, I'd say, maybe 8 minutes left or something like that. They made a run where you're like, okay, the crowd got into it. That was another thing. If you don't come out with energy as a team, Aaron, how can you really expect the crowd to have all this energy? And we didn't even get really that much energy from the crowd in our team because, you know, until somewhere in that second half. And then they did kind of make it look like, okay, realistically, we could win this game. But then that Teske dude who got us the first time, too, he hit back-to-back threes, and it was over. You know, you look at Murphy and Arturo, those guys, I mean, that's a weakness, I'll say, about Michigan. You know what I mean? They're bigs. They have some bigs, but they're not that defensively sound down low. I really don't believe that. You had Murphy 18-15, and you had Arturo 18-12. Everybody else was horrible. And 1-10 from three. Coffee ended up 2-15. He missed his first 10 freaking shots. Talk to me, Aaron, about the ongoing issue, and we see this with the Timberwolves, especially on the road, but especially the Gophers. This is at home. This is, hey, you got an opportunity here to play a top, what are they, six, top 16, top 10 team, whatever the hell you want to call them, and get that one more quality win you need. And to come out so lackluster, besides Murphy and Arturo, I mean, this is ridiculous, dude. Like I said, how can you expect the crowd to get into it when the players aren't into it?
I mean, you really can't. I mean, coming out against Michigan in the first half and starting so slow and just, like you said, lack of energy. You score 18 points in the first half, and you expect the crowd to get into that. I think everybody showed up there waiting to see a ball game, and they just didn't really get one. Michigan led from start to finish. Got into the second half. Michigan, we shot 54% in the second half. Crowd picked up. Like you said, things started looking a little bit better. But, yeah, I mean, just to come out like that against a ranked team on your home court and not play well, especially after you just whooped a storied program in Indiana. Now, they're not playing their best ball. They don't have the best players at the time, but that's a storied program as there is in college basketball. So, yeah, I mean, it was kind of not what anybody's expecting to see against Michigan. And you're going back to that Indiana game, the play with Murphy and Oturu was really something to watch. It's kind of what you thought you would see as Oturu was starting to mature a little bit. And then Kelsey just hitting threes. It seemed like that was the best we've seen them play all year. And, what really highlighted to me and the difference between the games was the point guard situation that we have here in Minnesota. We just don't have one. I remember in the beginning of the season, there was that guard from Pitt that we were trying desperately to get on the team, and the NCAA didn't clear him. And that's kind of a guy we're missing right now, if you think about it. I mean, we need a point guard. Washington's not doing it well enough. And, the road game against Michigan where we lost at the buzzer, Washington got some minutes and played pretty decently and, kept us in that game. But without a point guard, Michigan really exposed our bigs, and nobody get the ball to them. No flow to the offense. And it's really kind of an Achilles heel for this squad. And I think having that guard that didn't go through the clearinghouse would have really helped that. I know Brock Staal helps a little bit, but, he's not the same type of player, especially when you're going up against a top 10 team. I thought that they, Minnesota was, it's hard to really tell what you're going to see with this team. And it's kind of been like that throughout the whole Patino era. It's like you really, every game you step on the court, you don't know which team's going to step out there. And of course, last year had all the injuries and so forth. And so that's kind of a wash of a season. But this season, you've had pretty good continuity with your personnel. Nobody's been injured right for very long, knock on wood. And so you think that maybe you'd get a more consistent effort and performance from this team, but it just still remains enigmatic. And, it's hard to put your finger on exactly what it is. If Kelsey's not shooting well, you got problems. If you got foul trouble with Murphy and Oturu, you got problems. If you can't get rebounds defensively, you got problems because you can't get out and run and get into transition. So I think there's a lot of weaknesses on this team that are starting to be exposed. And I don't see a lot of solutions unless Washington can pick up his play. We really need a point guard right now, and it's really starting to show.
Yeah, and that Pittsburgh point guard that transferred in, he's on the roster. But like you said, we were trying to clear him for this year. 6'2", 200-pound guard. Not the greatest shooter per se, but he can do that. And like you said, he is a point guard. So it did kind of think, we kind of thought, I think it was the coaching change or whatever, that we kind of maybe thought, okay, maybe we can, get him in here or whatever. Also, Peyton Wilson is another guy. That is not playing right now, but, he was with Vanderbilt, but we knew he wasn't going to play. He's another 6'4", 200-pound guy that they were sitting there, but like you said, it's not going to help us this year. And, that kind of lends itself to Patino. The guy has recruited well. I will give him credit. If you look at when he first got here, a different style of play to an extent anyway. And so it takes you a little time to get your guys in here, whatever, you know. So you went through some of that 2 years ago when we were a fifth seed. Obviously, those two injuries to guards hurt us going into the tournament. Well, one of them going in, that veteran Springs. And then Nate, you know, Mason, he hurt himself early on in that game. And that, remember, that was his junior year. And I think he needed 2 or 3 months after that injury. So he wasn't effective in that game at all. But to bring back the talent that we had, so I really liked what I saw out of that squad. It was like, oh, okay, I see your vision here. And like, what were we fifth or fourth? I think we were fourth in the Big Ten that year, fifth seed. And so I really liked that. And then, you know, you can't blame him for last year. So I get it. A lot of that team moved on. We did have several parts coming back, though, some key parts. And so the talent, he's done pretty damn well, talent. Some of the transfers work out. I do think those transfers in Carr and Willis will be much needed next year. But it wouldn't hurt to have another shooter or two. Am I right with that? Because even Marcus Carr, he's a 33% shooter from the outside. And actually, he is just more of a point guard if you look at his assist and whatnot. Not so he would definitely help, but it's not like he's a knockdown shooter per se. It's just, shouldn't we have another shooter or two to come in off the bench too? I know Stahl or whatever, you know, he could shoot from time to time, but he's a limited player. He's a very limited player if we're being honest. So, I mean, we got to put some of this on Pitino here because, after all, last year is last year. I think that was a Sweet 16 team. I'm not going to sit here and let my bitterness for what's going on right now and frustration, you know, cloud my vision of last year and the team we had. So I know he can recruit. I know he can coach. I know he comes from the pedigree. I know that when he gets his guys, we saw what it could be. And I'm seeing some youth right here. We got to, you know, let's see what he brings in, you know, next year as well to go along with it. But it is kind of troubling that Arturo and Kurser kind of look like they're playing the best right now. But you need another shooter or two, don't you? And that falls right up, Pitino.
Yeah, I mean, you can always use more shooters. I mean, you'll take 5, 6 of them if you can get them. And, you know, I don't think it's really – and this is my opinion here. I don't think it's really the fact that we don't have shooters per se. I think we have guys that won't shoot. I think we have Washington. You know, he was kind of pulled back on the threes. I can understand why he doesn't fire away. But Coffey should probably shoot more. Definitely McBrayer should be looking to shoot more threes. A guy like Michael Hurt should be ready to shoot some threes. I think they're a little gun-shy when it comes to shooting three-pointers, and they can't be because they really need to get out and shoot well. I mean, you just can't have Kelscher. They can take care of one three-point shooter. We need to have two or three, like you said, to kind of balance the floor a little bit, or guys that are willing to go ahead and take those shots. You know, I just don't see a lot of guys doing that. Yes, it would be nice to have a guy to come off the bench and fire threes up when you need them. That would be great, you know, and it kind of goes back to the problems with the guards, both the one and the two. I mean, we're going from not many guards this year to next year going to have an abundance of guards. So I think a lot of it is just the timing of the recruiting classes, the disappointment with the kid from Pitt not being able to play. I think that threw a monkey wrench into the plans a little bit. And I think kind of been trying to cover that with some duct tape all season, and kind of disappointing year for Isaiah Washington. You know, he's a sophomore. He's still young, probably look for a big jump in his junior season. But yeah, we really needed to see it this year just to help us solve some of the problems. I mean, if you put Nate Mason on this team as a fifth year senior, hypothetically, I mean, I think we're probably a top four Big Ten team with the guys we got down low, who, when they get a chance, have proven to be almost unstoppable as a two-man team with Murphy and Oturu, and he's just going to get better. And we lose Murphy this year and probably be filled in Well, Mercer next year, who's kind of a slasher, sort of a three,
right.
And, you know, he doesn't see a lot of time this year, probably because Murphy's going to give him some time to season. But, yeah, I mean, I really just think we're kind of a point guardless team, which kind of, you know, fractals out into many different things, pacing, leadership, defense, three-point shooting, steals, assists, and that type of thing that you get inherently with a good point guard. So, yeah, I really think that's the problem. And, you know, like I said, there's really not a lot of fixes. I like Stahl a little bit just because I think he understands how to pace the game a little bit better than Washington does. And even, I think, better than Coffey. I'd like to see Stahl maybe move into the starting lineup and kind of shuffle guys around. He doesn't have to play a lot of minutes starting off the game, but I think it would help us kind of get into what we want to get into a little bit easier. He's a fifth-year senior. He obviously has experience. I think that might help the squad a little bit in the last four games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it could hurt them. You know what I mean? I definitely don't think it could hurt them. And I do think you feel or you hear, especially on like Gopher Twitter and Timberwolf Twitter and, you know, sports Twitter in general, but from the local fan base, and, you know, I think a lot of people look and go, man, one recruit right now signed? What the hell's going on? Well, one, you know, we still have plenty of time to sign somebody. Two, like you spoke of, we have two guards that are on the roster that are going to play next year, and both of them are going to play multiple. Both of them, one of them has 3 years, the other has 2 years. And Coffey, who's a solid guy who's really just, you know, Pitino spoke about it in his last press conference, how this year was all about getting back for him. And that setback he had late in the summer really hurt him. It took him a while to get all the way back. So between him and Arturo next year, and I do think, like you said, you know, the freshman we brought in, and we do have a small forward power. I think he's a power forward, actually, recruited. So it's not, the cupboards are not as bare as people think, and they're going to be ready to play. Now, how much are they going to produce 100%? I don't know. But both of them look to be pretty damn good players. So, pump the brakes on next year, saying, dude, who do we have though? If we're gonna lose this guy and McBrayer's gone and all that, you know, let's calm down. But like you said, it's not helping us this year. Now, a couple of weeks ago, or I don't even know when, we talked about Coffey and how, you know, should he stay another year? And I really think this Big Ten has really highlighted what he needs to get better at. And because he is a good all-around player. The guy can go out and give you almost triple-double numbers. He's a solid player, man, but he does need to obviously improve his shot. And I think you made a good point, Aaron, about when you get hesitant, you see them take that little hitch. Maybe they won't shoot it, or they'll take that hitch and then shoot, and you're like, nah, you took the hitch, dude. You already took the hitch. You're done. Don't even shoot it now because you hitched, you know? Don't hesitate. Just shoot. So I think you pinpointed at least some of it. Obviously, they're not great shooters, but, you know, I am disappointed and hurt as well. Washington, this last chunk of weeks, has been disappointing after him really improving, it seemed like. But hurt, too. He's supposed to be a three-point specialist. It would be nice to get him a good three or four looks. You know, every game off the bench, just let's see if the guy can hit some shots. But, you know, I'd like to see Coffey much the way Murphy did. And Murphy obviously had a much stronger year last year. Go, you know, to the combine, right? Say you're not going, but you can go as a junior. You can go. You actually don't have to be a junior, but the juniors can go and just, you know, go there to see where you belong, see where you're at, rate yourself. Show the scouts what you're good at, and hey, man, this is my game here. And then the next year, as after your senior year, then you can go back and see, they can see the improvements. And like you said, Coffey's not a point guard, but when it push comes to shove, he's put up some damn good numbers like one, but it's not consistent. If we can get him off the ball and put him actually at small forward or shooting guard, that opens it up for him. and the pressure's off him a little bit too. So what are your thoughts on Coffey? And do you still kind of in your gut feel like he's going to go pro, or you think he's been humbled maybe the last couple of weeks with his pops there probably saying, hey, dude, let's make the right decision here? What do you think, man? Because, you know, we're going to lose Murphy, but we really need Coffey to come back, though, because we can sit there and be as negative as we want about his shooting, but the guy can contribute in a major way. We've seen it.
You know, I'd really like to see him come back. I think it adds a lot for next year's squad as far as leadership and someone to look to, maybe someone to get some tough points. It's Coffey's done sort of this season, but really with just kind of going to the rack and not a lot of shooting, and he doesn't really have anything between 3-point and the layup. You know, 5-foot, 6-foot, 8-foot, 10-foot, 12-foot jumpers, he just doesn't seem to put them up, one, and two, make many of them now. You know, I think he obviously should go test the combine and, you know, kind of dip his toe in the water and see where it would come up. I feel like he would probably come up. The fact that he's, you know, two in a small three, you know, sort of that tweener guard slash small forward type of player. And defensively, you know, who do you put him on in the NBA? Do you put him on the shooting guard? Do you put him on the small forward? And he kind of, you know, kind of muddies the waters as to how you look at him as a pro prospect. I think that it would do him good as well as the program good for him to come back next year. I think in his head that, you know, he doesn't want to get injured again. And so if he can get through this year healthy, I think he'll feel like his stock is at a point where at least he can get a paycheck and will leave. I hope that he doesn't. I hope that he comes back and does another year here for himself and for the program. But I really am leaning towards him probably, unless he goes to the combine and it's a wash, you know, he doesn't play well and actually lessens his stock. I think that he'll probably go to the NBA, end up being a high second, maybe low first round draft pick. And, you know, and that's enough to get, you know, I mean, NBA league minimum is ridiculous. So if he can get there and make a team, not end up in the D or G or B or whatever they call that league now, I think that he'll probably go pro. Now, like I said, I hope I'm wrong. And I'd like to just come out sure. And I've been hearing a lot of talk about Patino and, you know, should he be fired and should he stay? I don't think it's even a question. I think you keep Patino. He's a young coach. You know, he's learning just along the way as well. He's done fairly well in the Big Ten for his tenure. He recruits well enough and can only get better. I mean, he just got these facilities. He's got to get a couple classes with those to show off. And, you know, considering all the downsides of recruiting here at Minnesota, the weather being one, I think he's done really well, and I think he's a talented, good, young coach. And if you let him go and let him get out of that building, I think you're going to see big things from him in the future. And that'll be one of those things that we'll just be not
Brian
happy
Miller.
With ourselves for letting him go. Right. And I just think give him time. He's young, you know, and same with Fleck. I mean, it's another thing. You're going to get rid of Fleck as he's building his program. You don't do it. And he's had some really interesting things that – going on in this program. I mean, he's got guys suspended. He's had injuries. He's had anything, throw the book at it. He's had it come his way in these 5 or 6 years. So sure. I think he needs to just get some stability in there and, you know, get on that recruiting wheel finally. It seems like he's starting to. I mean, like I said, the biggest difference this year is not getting that pick guard. And I didn't think much of it in the beginning of the season when it was all going down.
Sure.
I was like, oh, okay, well, you got Washington. But now that you're starting to see why they fought so hard to get him, you know, it makes you know that, like, wow, we knew we didn't have guard depth that we needed, and he really tried to fix that. And like I said, we're ahead in guards for next year, so it just kind of was a NCAA kind of got us on that one and kind of changed our season. You know, it's not over yet. We've got 4 games coming up. Got Rutgers, a couple road games at Rutgers and Northwestern that, you know, we're to the point, Chris, where we've got to win these two because you got Purdue and Maryland after that. And those are dicey. If you can go 2-2, get yourself to 19 wins, and pray for the tournament, you know, I think you got a shot. I don't think it's a great shot, But if you can win three of the four, I think you're in the tournament. If you can win one of the four, you know, you're in IT in it. And what are your thoughts on going forward at tournament possibilities?
Well, I just want to touch upon what I don't want to touch upon Patino. He's married. But I'm with you. I keep going back to it, but it was a Sweet 16 team next year, or last year, I believe that, based off what we brought back from a team that finished fourth and was a fifth seed team. And defensively, we were ruthless. We could block any shot. So we've seen them build it up. We've seen them build a Sweet 16 caliber team. Now, we have not had that since the 90s. And we're talking early 90s because, as we know, 97 didn't happen. So, and ironically, Tubby Smith got us to the second round and then was showed the door. So I really want to keep them. I'm right there with you. I want to keep them, and I think we're going to be pretty good next year, because when you see Gabe, when you see Arturo, when they get to develop, you know, to expand their game, that's going to do wonders. And so, yeah, I'm with you there. I think it's pretty much nonsense at this point to say it's so knee-jerky. People didn't get to see that. You know what I mean? Just like the Timberwolves last year. You know damn well, had we gotten the third seed and we are in the second round, first of all, Jimmy wouldn't be saying he would go on. And we would have felt so much better, and it wouldn't have had that bad taste in your mouth. It didn't happen, but we had the squad to do it. It didn't happen. People just can't remember that. They just remember the negativity. Negativity sells, as we know, and that's what I think. Last year was garbage. Yeah, but dude, you missed three guys out of the lineup, basically didn't play. And then McBrayer was hurt all year. He didn't practice, he just played. If you're not going to practice, you're not going to be able to play that well, dude. So you can't lose sight of what he did. I'm not trying to say this guy is the team he put together was unlike anything we've seen. It's not that. But we can't fire. I'm right there with you. 2-2. The only way we get in straight up 2-2 is if one of them's Purdue or Maryland. Make the argument, well, if you lose to Rutgers or Northwestern, that'll knock you down. But I think, you know, to have the ranked win in there would be key. 3-1. Yep, we're in. 2-2 is dangerous, and we'd need a win, I believe. I think we'd need a win to get in the conference tournament. I do think that. Now, you never know. It matters across the country, because some of those bubble teams like us, if they lose three in a row, well, that'll help us. You know, so it's tough to say, but you have to take control of your destination, right? In life, and the Gophers have to do this in their games. And like you said, Rutgers and Northwestern, got to have them. If we're an NCAA team, I don't care if we go to overtime at Northwestern, we got to have it. If you're an NCAA team, you got to have it. And then, I don't know if you don't, though, I do think, like you said, I think we'd need one more win. Anything else Gophers related before we get minorly to our Timberwolves, who, by the way, without Cat, who got in a car accident and got a concussion, and that's why he didn't play tonight. Now, Tyus Jones did play, actually played 17 minutes. Before we get into that, is there anything Gopher related, sir, that you'd like to touch upon that we haven't thus far?
I just wanted to concur with you on the tournament prospects. Like, you got to have Rutgers. You got to have Northwestern. And, you know, if you can beat Purdue or Maryland, best shot probably being Purdue at home. If you win that game and win three straight, and even if you lose to Maryland, I think you're in the tournament no matter how you show in the conference tournament. But that one win, I think, if you go 2-2, beat Rutgers and Northwestern, lose to Purdue, lose to Maryland, I think you're going to need maybe one big win, like of a good program in the conference tournament, or you're going to need two wins of maybe lesser opponents in the tournament. Sure. I think it's going to be very, very close if you go 2-2 with winning against Rutgers and Northwestern. Now, Kat, I don't know many details about the accident. I don't think they've given out many details, but he had a concussion, you know, and that could linger. I hope it doesn't. And, you know, did you see Covington tonight? I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I heard that he would be back.
Not back
possibly
yet.
Possibly after the break. Not back
yet. Yeah,
okay,
not back yet. Tyus was back. Played 17 minutes, but yeah. Nope. He's Tolliver and D Rose really produced off the bench. Gibby, they put Gibby obviously back at the starting lineup just for tonight or whatever. He had 19 and 10, Aaron. 9 of 15, 19 and 10. Had 3 assists, couple of steals. I love Gibson, dude. I don't care if people say, oh, the game's past him. I disagree. I'm not saying he's a stretch 4, but or 5, whatever you want to call him, but I sure wouldn't mind seeing him here on the squad next year. But yeah. You're right. That cat thing. We're gonna find out there, man. If he's okay, yeah. But no, I think it's 22 games now. With Covington, 22 games, man. But they did get the W tonight without Cat, 115-104. You know, against those. You think it's bad here? Oh my God, New York's horrible. Although they at least have a chip under their belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we grew up with the Knicks always being good, if not great team. It's the last few years of watching the Knicks just be horrible is just kind of against all my sensibilities about basketball. And, you know, I got home tonight from work, and I'm checking the internet, kind of get, you know, a little bit of news before the show, and I got to see that Cat got injured, and I was like, really? Of course. Of course he did. Come back from the All-Star game, your best player's out. It's Loserville again, but they managed to pull out the win. And I kind of looked at the standings a little bit, Chris, in the West. It seems like we're 11th in the West. Now we're 28-30, which puts us a game behind the Lakers. Is that a game in hand, maybe, for the 10th spot? And, you know, the 8th spot's the Clippers at 32-27, which doesn't seem, you know, that's two games back, so it's kind of crowded here at the back end of the playoff look. And you go 500, maybe for the rest of the season, you know, you could be looking at, you know, barely getting edged out of that 8th spot, or, you know, because I don't see the Clippers keeping it up with who they traded out.
I agree.
So I think they'll fall back, but who's going to come up? You know, the Kings are looking decent, but you know, I worry about the Lakers. LeBron turns it on, and they start winning some games. You know, that could come up and be an 8th or 7th spot, and the Spurs are always tough to deal with. So, yeah, I mean, I know I'm looking ahead, and we should be looking at the next few games, but I just kind of found it interesting how tight it is from 11 to about 7 in the West.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of the reason that we both kind of agreed that, hey, you know, let's try to make the damn playoffs, man. You know, I do like what they did at the, I guess you could say the top of the lottery, where the top four teams get the same chances. I like that. I think that's a good idea. Real quick, what do you think of that? You know, because usually it's one got the best chance, two got a little less, you know. The top four now all have the same exact amount. So they're trying to address the tanking issue once in a while. They don't want to be like baseball, where you can develop all these guys and then just yard sale, just a farm sale. Hey, man, we're selling it all. We'll be back next couple of years. What do you think of that real quick? I love that they did that. The top four, exact same chances.
I guess within the framework of the lottery itself, it's probably an improvement. But you know how I feel about it. I just never liked the lottery. To me, it's always felt since that Ewing deal with the Knicks, the first year where they put it in there, I think their intentions were good. Yeah,
Robinson
perhaps.
Church, and they get Duncan, you know.
Yeah, and then you got the Leitner, Shaq, Alonzo Mourning draft that just, that was it for me in the lottery. It was, no, we're not getting third when the two great players, you know, it's just, I never really liked the lottery. Now, the flip side of that is, you know, you're not going to avoid tanking if you go with, like, the NFL and you're the least, the worst record picks first. I mean, that's just, you know, that's a paradise. So it's kind of tough to see how you're gonna do that. And if I know this correctly, it's not that the bottom four teams, they all have equal chance to get the first pick. Is that correct?
Yep. They have the same amount of balls. Whereas it used to be, it used to be separated to where percentage wise, number one had a night, you know, had the best chance. Two had the same, you know, it would do that. It still gives, I mean, I think it's like a 4% chance at even the 14th team that you could still get it, you know, technically.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, is if does the 6th
right.
through 14, do they still have a chance at the number one pick?
Yeah, yep.
And, yep. You know, I wish I could say get rid of the lottery, but I don't have a better solution. I suppose I could think about one, get back to you on it, but yeah. You know, I just don't love the lottery, but I think it's better to give the worst teams a better chance. I think that's an improvement. So, yeah, I guess I like it. I like it going forward. It's better than it was.
Right. And you're right, though. As far as where we're at, the Lakers are going to make a run. A lot of people are like, they're not even making the playoffs. Dude, LeBron's been out. So, yeah, that team's not good if LeBron's not on it. It's really bad, actually, at playoffs. Like you said, I'm with you on the Clippers. I kind of feel like, yeah, that is going to be a heck of a little ending there, man. Sacramento, us, and the Lakers. Whew. Yeah, that's going to be a rough one. And talk about hitting the ground running. We're not going to go much further than this one. But as far as just looking at the games here, I mean, this is kind of tough all of a sudden. Just bang, we're going to go right into it, dude. Tonight, on the road, Knicks. Tomorrow, got a game. Monday, have a game. Wednesday, have a game. Thursday, have a game. So it's in the first stretch back in five games is back-to-back. Two back-to-backs in five games. So 5 or 6 days, five games. That's a freaking intense way to come back. And, you know, it's a long season still to an extent, but we need to play pretty damn well in those games. Milwaukee's looking tough. We talked about Sac. You want to must win that Sac town, Atlanta, Indiana, Washington, who doesn't have Wall right now. I mean, we got to go, I'd say, out of Milwaukee on the road, the way they're playing, I'm not mad at that loss. But Sacramento at home, Atlanta, Indiana, Washington, we got to go 3-1 in that stretch, I'd say, because we're probably going to lose to Milwaukee. Who knows? But we're going to have a lot to talk about Timberwolves-wise on our next show, aren't we? That is a – not that it's like this killer schedule, but when you have 5 games and 6 nights, I see why they did that, because we just got 8 days off. So I guess if you're going to do that, this would be time to do it, but – from Friday with the win to next Thursday, that's a chunk of the season right there left.
Yeah, that's about how long a concussion takes to get back, if you think about it. I mean, don't mean to be ominous.
Man.
But
true.
You
Shoot,
know,
you're right.
You got to think, right, it could be past the Hawks game before we see Towns again. I mean, I could be wrong, or it could be longer. I mean, maybe they didn't give us all the details on the injury either. We don't know exactly, but depends on the extent of the concussion. So it could take a week, man. It could be a Joe Mauer. It could take a month. Let's hope it's not. But I don't think we'll see him against the Bucks. Hopefully we can see him against the Kings, but I can kind of see the writing on the wall. I hope he's all right, first and foremost. Second of all, I hope he can get back quicker than I anticipate him to. And you know, it would be bad to go into this 4-game stretch without Towns in the situation that we're at. Although it looks as if we played pretty well tonight against the Knicks. I know it's the Knicks, but, I mean, having Rose back, Tolliver, and Jones seem to help a lot. So, you know, we get back 3, we lose a big one. You know, I just hope that Towns can get back sooner rather than later.
Definitely. Definitely, man. Well, we'll be back next week. You got anything else there to add at all? You good to go?
Good to go.
All right. So real quick, before we get the hell on out of here, I mentioned that DirecTV Now, for those who are thinking about cutting that cable, or for those who already have and just can't figure out what the hell's going on, or maybe, you know, you want to watch some sports and you're like, hey, I'm going to try it. DirecTV Now is the way to go. I believe you can start a 7-day free trial and see if you like it. Now, the technology, no matter if you go with YouTube or Sling or Hulu Plus Cable, the technology does have a ways to go. But even the last, well, since late August or early September when I got it, so that's a good 7 months right there, I've even seen the improvements already. I mentioned before that you have right now up to 20 hours for the cloud DVR, record, fast forward, the whole nine. So it's like that, right? But also, if you're an AT&T customer, like I mentioned earlier, you can actually lock those prices in. Remember I mentioned the packages from 40 to 55 to 65 to 75, that Spanish channel at 45. You can lock those prices in for 2 years if you're an AT&T customer, or become an AT&T customer. And it's not really like it's expensive to get a Roku per se, right? But that's part. They throw that in. So you get free Roku. Maybe you have a Roku or Apple TV and you had for a couple of years and it's starting to wear out or something, or you know, it needs upgrades or something like that. You could just get a brand new Roku with this deal too as well. So anyway, let's get the hell out of here. We're signing off from the Living in Loserville podcast, where it will snow, I'd say, another 10 inches before we talk. So Gophers need to win the next two games. Need must, period. And our Timberwolves, we feel like the next three, I'd say minimum three out of the next five. If we can get three out of the next four, that would be big. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Peace.
To this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we attitude. We move.